Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we've altered in bad ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Good afternoon, good Sunday afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host once again. This is me, Brenda K. Sanders, and I'm very thankful that you've joined me again today to listen to me. You know, I used to tell my students that I'm going to give you an A if you can survive and listen to 8 sessions with me talking, because truth is very hard to hear and to maintain. And I know that truth is oftentimes, and I'm talking about me, I always say it first. I'm talking to me first, okay? God let me know that. That truth, you think that you're speaking it to someone else and you're speaking to yourself. In fact, you're preaching to yourself and you may not be aware of it. It's hard to listen to truth and but nevertheless, we are blessed by truth. As I often say, this is a motivational outreach program. today to myself first. I'm speaking to that person that is discouraged today. I'm speaking to that person that is depressed, that person that is stuck in darkness right now, can't see what God is doing in their life. That's my job. That's my job as an exhorter, because having experienced some of this, what I'm talking about, seeing clearly in the dark all the time and over and over in my life, I've come to know that that is a ministry that God has given me to preach and teach to others who may be in that same frame of mind or circumstance. And that may need some encouragement. I've had some supernatural things really happen to me over my years of faith and walking as a believer. I really have. And I guess to keep me humble, God has really been grounded and rooted. God has also served me with tribulation that has caused me to be patient and caused my flesh to be subdued. It does not feel real good, because we always want to celebrate the very high moments of our faith. But God tempers those moments, I believe, with tribulation and with then therein as the result of it is patience. And so I find myself there again. I always do. And I guess it's God all over again. And as I discuss this cycle of patience, I have discovered one thing. It's a repeating cycle. Even when you just have one major promise or one promise from God, the cycle can repeat. And how did I know that? Well, I'm looking at my own life, first of all. Secondly, I'm looking at the script as I refer here to Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. That's in chapter 16. I'm moving a little ahead of myself. That's in chapter 16. However, I moved back. I was forced to move back to chapter 12. Because I was trying to make sure that I've covered all of the phases of the cycle of patience. All right, I'm back on the air. Sorry, I've had some connection problems. I don't know how long I went out. I believe when I saw the message on the board, it said that I was not connected. And I was going over the eight phases of the cycle of patience. Let me outline them again here. It is promise, expectancy, deprivation, convenience, separation, mistake or distraction, passive unbelief, and then fulfillment. And what I wanted to do was employ the scripture from Genesis 12 to Genesis, let's see, it passes by Genesis 16, I believe, to Genesis 19. Let me go all the way back. Let me even go further. 21. Before the promise is fulfilled. And so there's a lot here. And I'm not saying that these are the only phases. They may repeat, and then there may be an additional phase. For instance, I was thinking about disappointment. And where does it fit in? Because in this cycle of patience, there is a lot of disappointment. There is a lot of delay. I've gotten so off track today because of the interruption of the broadcast. Let me go back to my theme scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 13:12. And today I did have a revelation about the scripture again. I used the New International Version of the text for 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known, before we see God, we will see ourselves, is what I put. In this context, in this translation, it says, for now we see only a reflection in the mirror, and that reflection is only ourselves. And we are confined if we just had that reflection to go by as believers, because we're looking at ourselves, and it's a limited, defined version of what God wants us to be. We have to move face to face to see God and know God and know God's plan for our lives. No way we can see him unless we move closer to him. We leave the vision that we have in the mirror, the limited, you know, defined version that he's given us, that limited version that we have without God and absent from his presence. And then we move into a full version, face-to-face vision and of what God wants for us, what God sees for us, okay? That's my newest revelation there of the scripture. I went too fast because I started talking about those phases in the cycle of patience. But you know what? I wanted to recount here a dream I had this very morning. I had a dream. The dream is I entered into a room of people. And I don't know, it may have been 8 or 9 people, and it looked like I circled the room. I went to one person and I talked, and I can't believe I can't remember the order, but then maybe I would go and talk, and there was a man and woman sitting there. Then I would move to the next table, and there was a woman sitting there. Maybe I moved to the next table, and there's a man sitting there. Went around the room, and then all of a sudden it looked like that room turned into a series of compact or compartments, like you see at the amusement park. Maybe you know how you have the teacup kind of train, or the teacups circling around. You get into the teacup, close the door, and it circles around and around. Well, this was like a teacup train, if you will, where all of those people that I had encountered in that room were then seated in this train. And it was one of those, like, baby trains, a zoo train or a music park train. It was not a big locomotive train that we usually, that, you know, you normally associate when someone says train. And then this train began to go on a track, and then it swerved suddenly. It swerved suddenly, but then it got back on the track. And I was thinking, wow, well, what are you saying to me? What are you saying? I'm seeing the train. I'm seeing these people. I'm seeing destiny here. The train is going somewhere. And then it swerves, suddenly swerves, and then gets back on track. Well, I think that's what the cycle of patience is about. That's what I'm saying to you. I think that the cycle of patience represents how we begin our destiny at one point, our journeys to our respective destinies. And then there swerves. And then we have to get back on track. God has a way of getting us back on track after we swerve. What is a swerve? Unbelief, some of the things that I just named. Convenience, doing something for convenience. Well, this is easier. I'm going to do it just like Abraham and Sarah. Deprivation, when we have separation or passive unbelief or mistakes or distractions. Those are the swerves that we make on our respective destinies, and then we have to get back on track. I think that's the cycle of patience, all in a nutshell, personified in a little train. But it is not a journey that is really, like I said, it has a lot of peace with it associated with after it's over with and you can testify about it and the fulfillment comes. Then it seems like you could talk about it a little better. Well, having said that, let me go to the scripture as well. Let me go to the scripture. I'm going to James 1 first before I go back to Genesis chapter 12 because I'm looking at patience. Let me tell you something else. I'm not a big fan of patience. You say, well, you love patience. No, I don't. I have just gone through so much of it. I have gone through those experiences over and over and over, well, I'm going to tell you what I have done. Don't laugh. But I've tried to jumpstart the cycle of patience. I have told God, well, I know what's getting ready to happen. You give me a promise, I'm going to have all these mishaps and everything, and then finally a fulfillment. I can talk about it now. When I was last elected in 2008, the day of the election, I got a big notice on my door. Your life's about to be disconnected. And so many things happened that day, the day before I was elected as a judge. I just stood at the polls, you know, trying to pass out my literature, trying to be happy, trying to be aggressive and confident, and tears in my eyes in between. Tears in my eyes in between, because I'm thinking, wow, I might go back home and my life might be cut off. I saw my opponents with water and all kinds of goodies for voters, and I was so discouraged by that. I think at my that point in time, I probably had about 39 cents on me, and they were all pennies, all pennies, by the way. And I remember just standing at the polls with tears in my eyes. You know, in between encountering a voter, I had tears in my eyes. I was thinking about all the things that have gone wrong. And I thought to myself, I am going to lose this race. I just simply am looking at it right in the face, and I'm going to have to get myself together and sit through another night of long vote counting and accept the truth. And I went home, and I went to a place where, you know, people watch results. And I was so discouraged, I could not even seek out to see the results of the election. And a very dear friend of mine, a very dear friend who was sitting right down there where the votes were being counted, called my cell phone and said, "You won." You know how I felt? I was overjoyed at that point with tears. And it seemed all of those negative things just, you know, melted away. And then the Lord blessed me the next day with my provisions to pay my bills and so forth. And so we can't be discouraged when we see dark things. We must move into positivity and endurance. That's what patience is. In fact, let me get to James real quick here. I may take my time. I may repeat myself. Please forgive me. But I'm going to deal with this again. James chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's the patience I'm talking about. And verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Let me go down to verse 12. It says, blessed is the one who perseveres. I'm going to use the word who's patient under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And I think that's the very, very, very heart of patience, having patience, is that after all of the trials and tests, and that's where we pay. That's why I say, I use a little imagination here and change the wording to P-A-Y-T-I-E-N-C-E. There's a paying, there's a withdrawal that is made from our flesh when we have to go through and endure the tests and trials and tribulations. That's what develops our patience. But what happens? God uses those tests and trials to develop our faith, to make our flesh subside, where we are on our way to receiving the blessings and receiving what God has for us, but we are standing in a different position when we receive those blessings. I actually, when I won that election, I went home, went to sleep. Everybody was really happy and texting me and cheering. And I, let me tell you, I went home and sat down and said nothing because I knew what I had endured, and it was something that I couldn't brag about, first of all. And then I had to give God glory because he was the one that did it. I was not in the mood. I was like, God, thank you. I just barely, you know, it's just like almost missing a train and then getting on the train or something. But God blessed me. And my flesh had subsided. I didn't brag. I wasn't high-fiving anybody. I was just giving God the praise and the glory for that victory. Well, let me tell you, it's easy, and I've seen people do it, you know, on the campaign trail. That is a journey all of itself. Things look really negative and go home and sit down and say nothing. That, I have seen that. I've never done that, no matter what I have faced. And so, like I said, I'm very acquainted with this subject, being patient, or the cycle of patience, how it kind of like a roller coaster, moves you up and down in spirit, but in the end, you will recover, and God delivers the promise that he gave you in the first phase of the cycle. Let's see. I want to also cover a scripture that I saw in Romans 5, starting in verse 3, 4, and 5. Let me read it real fast. I'm going up to verse 2. It says, through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith, and to his grace, this grace, state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, verse 3, let us also be full of joy now. See, that's the thing. Be full of joy now. That is why you're going through the tests and trials. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. How about that day when I received that notice of disconnect? How about if I stood there and just laughed and rejoiced and praised God? Instead of doing what I did, you know, I got a spirit of, you know, defeat on me. And I just kind of was kind of, you know, distracted by that. But it didn't overtake me. But I'm just saying how something like that can overtake and ruin your joy, ruin your confidence, where you're tempted to quit. This scripture says in James 3, it says, let us exult and triumph in our trials and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And let me tell you, by that night, I did proceed and did everything I was supposed to do, but by that night, there was no high-fiving anybody about anything. I went home and gave praise to God quietly, and thanked him for a victory. That's what endurance and patience will do. And verse 4, it says, endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. That's another thing. I'll talk about that next week. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let me tell you what I've done today. I've totally digressed from what I was going to say and from my outline today, talking about Sarah, Abraham, and Hagar. But I think I'm going to move back further into chapter 12 because there is so much more to talk about, because this cycle that I am telling you about, let me, because of the interruption of the broadcast, I'm going to say what the eight phases are, and this is my particular perspective. There may be more, and maybe I'm going to be forced to modify this model of patience. Number one is promise, expectancy, deprivation, convenience, acceptance, mistake, distraction, passive unbelief, and then fulfillment, all in the cycle of patience. And we're going to be able to document these phases throughout the story of Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah. And it can be found in the same story of Joseph and Daniel and Hannah. Oh, did I go through Hannah? Well, here I am again. And it is definitely for my own personal edification and yours. I'm hoping it will be for yours as well. And what I did not cover this week, believe me, I'm going to take my time and explain this again next week. I got a little distracted with that interruption here with the broadcast. I'm hoping right now that there are those of you out there that are remaining hopeful, are remaining patient with the things of God, especially when promises are being fulfilled by God. It flows out of the promise. There is going to be a cycle of patience that's going to, and that God is going to accomplish a lot of purposes in you and me and other people when he blesses. There is a purpose for it, and it's going to work out for our good is what I want to say. Let me go to my tags today, even though I didn't get to demonstrate each tag. I was going to outline what I have in each tag in the scripture itself. Have patience always requires something. The debts that we pay with our flesh support the development of patience. And patience cannot be a learned behavior. Like I told you, like I said earlier, I've tried to jumpstart God or move ahead of God. Okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to wonder about it. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. It's something that can be learned. You can't do it yourself. It's something. It's a process that God works in you and me. It is. I've tried to move through that. Okay, I'm not going to be too impatient. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be extremely patient. You know what? Every time God has caused me to even still endure tribulation so that he can be the master of my patience. I won't give credit to myself. It will be God and God alone. So it can be learned. Even though I'm talking about it, it's not something that I believe can be taught. It is developed. It is processed by God. Patience is developed by tribulation. That's the way that it is processed. Patience causes delay, but not denial. And so if we know that, and right now I know that, even as I'm talking to you today, right before the broadcast, I just read the first verses of Genesis chapter 12 as it related to Abraham, and I cried and laughed at the same time as I was prepared for the broadcast, because it seemed almost comical to me that God starts out in chapter 12 giving Abraham a promise, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And then I go, that's verses 2 and 3. This is where I really broke out with emotion. And verse 10, and he caused Abraham to move out, Abram to move out and everything. And then verse 10, I read this, and I tell you, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Excuse me, I just got a promise from you, God. What do you mean, famine? Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess I'll continue that next week, but maybe just that short discussion will help somebody today. Because it, let me tell you, it's very grievous to be sidetracked. And then when you're involved in the cycle of patience, God has given you a promise. You can see, you develop expectancy, you follow the instructions, and next thing you know, you got a famine on your doorstep. And that's something we have to learn to move through and allow God to do his work in us. I know you say, oh, please get off this subject. well, it's something we should expect and something that we should purpose to move through and endure through. That is, yeah, the very heart and essence of patience. Well, I thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. Sorry for the interruption. I've learned to move through those interruptions and just continue and endure until the end. That is all I have to say this time. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/BrendaKCAnders to listen to an archived version of this broadcast, of this episode. If you desire to make a comment, ask a question, or request desired prayer, please email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. A really, really encouraged prayer request. Let me just tell you this. I don't often say it, but I love to pray with you, pray the word with you, share the word with you. Maybe God has a prophetic word for you in my sharing. And so please feel free to email me, and I will then contact you in return. All right. Well, thanks again for listening to the broadcast, and I am praying for you to have a very blessed week. I'll see you next time. So get your folks together for some church, y'all. Some good music and prayer and service won't hurt y'all. Even if you don't believe in a preacher, it's bound to be a few things he can teach you.
But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, woo, I'm I'm about to have church right by myself. Is that all right? I want you to lift your voice and talk to the person next to you and guarantee.